Okay, our first guest is somebody that is this another smart person that's coming on our show here.
Yeah.
An inventor, the guy who created – he's a serial entrepreneur, but this sounds like a lot of science had to go into creating the product called the Fitbit. And James Park is with us. He is the creator of this, and this is a device that tracks activity. And the thing that's really cool about it, it's real small. You've been using this a lot.
I've been using it religiously for at least 3 weeks.
You've gotten religious about your Fitbit.
4 weeks, maybe.
And you now...
I'm a big fan.
It lights up. It tells you how many steps you're doing.
Right.
And the thing I like about steps is steps gives you a number.
Right.
You know what steps are. You know, we've looked at other devices that haven't given you steps.
No,
that
you got to like...
It's giving you calories or how many, you know, calories burned or whatever. But this is giving you actual steps that you're
taking.
And
this does, I think, distance, too.
Gives you distance, right? You have to put that on there too.
And a flower.
And you're gonna get you a flower, exactly. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Now, James, first of all, now how did you come up with this concept of creating this device to track activity? Is this something that you sit down at a desk with a piece of paper and a pen and go?
You had a bad pedometer experience.
Okay, what do I need to do to make people figure out how to track what they're doing? How did you come up with this device?
Well, actually, the genesis of Fitbit was a few years ago. So I was actually one of the first people to buy a Nintendo Wii when it first came out. I made my wife wait with me in line at Best Buy at like 6 a.m. To buy the Wii. And
now let me ask you,
James,
when you say you bought the Wii, because I would think that if you're making Fitbits, you probably saw the Wii and go, I'm going to make my own Wii. I'm going to make it better than this Wii.
I think building a game console is a pretty challenging business. So, I was perfectly content to just be a consumer of what they created. I think that the big insight for me was when I actually got to play around with it and, playing Wii Sports, bowling, etc. I was just fascinated at the way that, Nintendo was able to take these sensors called accelerometers, which, you find in the iPhone, you find in airbags, etc., and put a layer of just immersive and entertaining software on top of it that kind of changed the way people thought about video games. It was no longer something that was a sedentary activity. It was something that got you moving around. And I found that fascinating. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be awesome if you could take those same benefits and put it into a more portable form? Because obviously you can't take your Nintendo Wii with you. So that was the start of the idea of the Fitbit, was how to capture those active benefits of that type of system and put it into a device that fit more into people's lifestyle over the course of the day.
So you really saw the Fitbit. You really saw this Wii. It was more of a life-changing experience. Said, listen, let's see what we can do. Maybe we can take this technology and turn it something into more practical use so that you can carry it on with you all the time.
Exactly. And, I think there's been pedometers, done before. You can find them really cheaply for, stores anywhere between $5 to $30. I think what we really wanted to do was present a real Apple-like experience for people where out of the box,
right.
Here was a device that was really practical to wear. Actually, a lot of our female users clip the device to the front of their bra, which is impossible with a lot
of
other devices.
That's what the fat guy did. He clipped it to his man's ear.
It's a nipple clip for me.
Awesome. For a lot of people, the form factor and wearability are pretty important.
Yes.
So that's where we spend a lot of our time on.
Yeah, it is small and it can fit on.
I think my favorite part about it is the wireless syncing. I think that's a critical element of the device. I've used a lot of them.
Right. We've road tested a bunch of this. We just road tested not too long ago the thing called the Groove, similar device, bunch of different accelerometers. And we like the concept of it, but again, little bit difficult to wear, and you have to
plug in to
James,
upload the information.
One of the things that the fat guy and I have both found out from using these devices, when we get hooked on them, we really like using them. Like I have this watch, this Nike Plus thing that tracks how much I run. But when this thing goes down, if it doesn't work, let me tell you something: all hell breaks loose. How have you found the durability of the Fitbit so far?
The Fitbit, the device has been pretty durable. Obviously, we've learned a lot about how people use and wear it, and we've been making constant improvements. since the time he's launched the design of the device. But, you know, going back to sort of the wireless thing, we actually felt that that was pretty important feature just because, you know, it's kind of odd, but we found that even though people are getting motivated to become more fit and active, they're actually kind of lazy at the same time.
Kind of? And, that's an understatement. You know,
right. Yeah, okay, very lazy. And if you don't make it easy for people to do things like upload the data, they actually don't end up doing it.
Exactly. That's true. I'm a testimonial to that. Now, and something else that I think was really eye-opening for me was how sedentary I am. You have no idea how little you move unless you track this. Like in your head, you think, well, I walk around, I'm doing stuff. But when you actually see, like at the end of the day, I'll look and I'll be like 3,000 steps. 3,000. That's it.
That's not enough, James. That's how you go from a fat guy to a fatter guy.
Right. But if I, even if I run, like if I go and do the river, which is a 5K, that's probably still only 6,000 or 7,000 steps. Like you have to do that plus even, you know, another 30-40% more to get to 10,000 steps.
Yeah. And James, what about the reliability factor on this in terms of the data that you're getting? Because the fat guy, here's the deal. He puts his information, he's linked up on Facebook, on Twitter, and he sends his information out. He's constantly getting people that are telling him, there's no way you did that. You know, right. There's no way you walked that much.
Lots of people have a question like the how it's figured out. Do you want to speak on that?
Yeah. So what we found in our internal testing is that the step counting functionality is pretty accurate. So, you know, if you walk 400 meters along a track, what we found is that the accuracy of the step count is about 99.7% or so.
Okay.
And the accuracy really changes depending on where your mounting location is. So you can trade a little bit of convenience for accuracy. So, for instance, if you don't want to wear it on your waist, you can also drop the Fitbit into your pocket. Which is a lot more convenient for people, but in that case, the accuracy might fall to about 95% or so.
Oh.
But in general, you know, day over day, the trend is fairly consistent, and we actually found that, you know, observing the day-to-day trend is one of the more motivating factors for people, just so that they can see how their activity fluctuates over time. And I think what you mentioned before about, you know, when you said you saw you're at 3,000 steps during the day, and you just realize how much you have not moved around, I think that's a critical thing. You know, awareness is really the first step in kind of shocking people to take action.
Yeah, that's what my therapist said.
Exactly. You have to first know what's wrong. And, you know, we have a saying at Fitbit, you know, we try to make what's invisible visible. And that really jolts people into action because, like you said, most people don't understand if they're an office worker, et cetera, how much they're really not moving throughout the day.
Where do you see, James, where do you see the future of Fitbit going?
Are you going to capture heart rate data?
So we do have a plan, you know, a product roadmap for a bunch of other devices. So we will be attempting to capture a lot more data about your daily activities and lifestyle. I think the most important thing for us when we design our products is to make sure that they're very practical and easy for people to use and wear and that it fits into their lifestyle. So you won't see us developing devices that, you know, capture more data but, you know, are too bulky to wear,
right,
or difficult to use, et cetera. So those are some of the trade-offs and design challenges that we think through as we release more products in the future.
Now, how many accelerometers do you, you know, obviously this is the, we're seeing, this is the beginning of these devices. Some companies have two, some
how many do you have
three.
In there?
Is there, how many devices, how many accelerometers, yeah, how many are there?
So, you know, the Fitbit has a single three-axis accelerometer, but, you know, it's we kind of think of it as it's not how many sensors we have, it's what you do with them. And
I try to use that, too. I use a variation of that.
Exactly. I was trying to keep it a little bit PG there, so.
Obviously, so it doesn't matter how many accelerometers, it's how you use them. Okay, but do you see it in the future? Is it going to matter how many there are in terms of if, let's say, for instance, you're doing other types of other things with it, playing different sports activity?
It doesn't – how do you do – like this is good for capturing walking or running, but how does it do like on biking?
Exactly. So, you know, one of the things that we're looking at in developing future products is what are the activities that we don't cover well today, which include things like biking, possibly swimming. Those are very common activities that, masses of people do. And so those are definitely activities that we're looking to track better in the future. And that will be helped by more sensors.
And more smart people. You need, obviously, more smart people in the company to get that technology.
Because it's not waterproof, exactly. Right? Like, what do you do for swimming? Where do you put it? Can you put it in, like, a plastic bag?
Currently, we don't really recommend that you use it for swimming. But with additional devices in the future, those devices will be waterproof, et cetera, and will track swimming a lot more accurately.
Yeah, that's the one thing, James. In the summertime, these devices, because a lot of times, a lot of the people that are running or doing triathletes or swimming and stuff, sometimes you forget to take off the device and you jump in the pool or you go in the shower and you got that device on.
It's good for Fitbit. Then you got to get another one.
Actually, we have a fair number of people, for whatever reason, walk into their hot tub with the Fitbit. Forget about it.
That would be me. I would do the same. Yeah, same type of thing.
Yeah, call customer support saying, I just walked into my hot tub with my Fitbit. What do I do?
Now, for biking, can you put it in your sock? Does that give you an accurate reading from your sock?
No, he's saying you can't.
There's a way to kind of
a little bit more accurate. We're definitely making improvements to our algorithm to track biking better. So we'll have some updates on better bike tracking in the future.
Now, I've had we had one Facebook person. They asked the question, "What about availability?" That this person, her name is Jill, and she was very interested in buying one, but she's saying that it's always back ordered. Are you having a difficult time keeping it in stock?
Yeah, so it's really due to the high demand. That said, by the holiday season, we should be out of the back order situation for sure, and will be widely available in a lot of retail locations as well. So
I told her to just have her own radio show, and then she'll get one.
Yeah, or the black market. I'm sure you can find them in Mexico somewhere, on the street corner or something.
You can find them on eBay now for about $150 to $200, which surprised us. So
now, why don't you share the price? Is about $100, right? And that includes the online syncing and all that, isn't that right?
Yes, so most of the tools on the website are free, and one of the things that we do promise our users is that your data will be always yours, so you'll always have access to historical data that you've collected with the device.
Mm-hmm. And then now there's also, I just saw on when I synced, that there's a premium program also you can sign up for that has more data?
Exactly, yes. So what the premium service adds on top of the data that you own is a layer of analytics and coaching. So if you want to go beyond what the basic tools provide you and find ways of using the data to help motivate you, then the premium service is something that is probably appropriate.
James, do you see the Fitbit doing anything in the future where you can give people superpowers? Any flying? Can you do anything with this Fitbit where maybe run faster? Anything like that? Because you've done a lot. I've checked you out. I know this computer science degree you have from Harvard. I know you're a smart guy, but are you working on anything like that? Fire? Yeah. Shooting fire? Bullets? Anything?
Performance enhancement.
Yeah, anything like that? Do you see the Fitbit going down this road?
Possibly. I think, there's a bunch of things we'll have to keep under wraps, and maybe that's a topic for another show.
Now, something that's an interesting component about it is that it also tracks your sleeping. Can you talk a little bit about how it does that?
And how have you been doing, fat guy, with the sleeping? What's going on with you?
I seem to wake up quite a bit.
You're moving around a lot?
But it doesn't burn a lot of calories sleeping. Not a lot of movement. But what lets you know, like, hey, guess what? At 4 o'clock in the morning, you moved. There's like a little bit of activity.
Yeah, so a lot of our users find the sleep tracking aspect pretty useful. So for your listeners, if you wear the Fitbit on your wrist at night, it starts to track a variety of different statistics about your sleep, like how long it took you to fall asleep, how many times you woke up throughout the night. And what this allows you to do is understand how different aspects of your life, including food and nutrition, affect your sleep and vice versa. And what we'll be doing in the future is releasing more tools that help people understand those relationships a little bit more automatically. So for instance, we might be able to tell you, any day you exercise vigorously after 6 p.m., your sleep is affected in this way. So that's sort of the goal that we're striving towards.
Now, what was the thought process about having the ability to post your tracking your stuff on Twitter?
That's good. Right. People want to see what you're doing.
No, I know, but is there going to be other ones? Are you
for celebrities like you? It's good for celebrities. They want to see how fast you're
walking. Are you going to connect with Foursquare so then they can see where I'm at? You know, while I'm doing nothing. You know.
Yeah. So you know the Twitter and Facebook stuff. It's we found that people like to enlist the help and maybe the watchful eye of their friends and family to try to keep them on track on their fitness goals. And other people just, you know, they love to share everything. So it's kind of a combination of the two. We find that a lot of times people can reach their goals a lot quicker and easier if they have the motivation of peers and the community, et cetera, behind them. So that's some of the thinking that goes behind the features like Twitter integration, Facebook integration, et cetera.
Now, how many steps are you doing a day?
Yeah, we want to know, James. We want to know what was before and then after you created this thing? Did you notice any big changes too?
Yeah, I think my activities increased about 25% or so. In general, what we found with our users is that after about 12 weeks, if you're initially inactive, and we define initially inactive as walking about 4,000 steps per day.
So I'm lower than inactive. What's lower than inactive? That's hibernating? Am I hibernating?
Yeah, like that.
Now, what was yours? How many steps, James, are you taking?
I walk about 8,000 steps per day, which is, you know, it can be a lot better. My wife actually does about 20,000 steps per day.
Yeah, wow. I think every woman needs about 30,000 steps, right, to keep them trim and active. What do you think? That should be – Lee, don't you think that's important?
I wouldn't say that out loud.
But – it's what we think. Yeah. It's what we think. All right. So
I have no comment.
Now, what's your low day?
My low days, you know, they're about 5,000. The good thing for me is that I walk to the train every day. So
oh, that's good. Yeah,
man,
that shouldn't count though. You know, that's unfair.
Where are you? What city are you in?
I'm in San Francisco.
Oh, so there's
that's a walking city. Yeah, lots of walking to do over there.
I'm in a driving city. I just go to my office, I sit down, I go home, sit down, and then boom, it's time to watch TV, and then I'm done. It's 3,000 steps.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark it down.
Yeah, I grew up in Cleveland, and it's kind of scary, you know, the different type of cultures, car culture versus walking culture, et cetera, and how that affects your life.
Are you seeing data in that in terms of the different cities? Like, can you track, like, what cities have more just activity?
We do. We haven't released that information publicly, but you know that's actually been really fascinating data for our internal team to look at.
Right, because the Gallup people, they do that. What is it? That HealthWise. What's that survey they do? Where they track
activity,
like every city.
Yeah, they track and how much activity people are doing.
Yeah, so we might release rankings in the future of who are the most active cities, et cetera.
How many people are on it right now? Is that
We don't release those numbers, but
is it a lot?
Is it more than me?
Yeah.
It's more than me, right?
Probably, I think so. Yeah.
And James, is there a way that you can somehow release comments back to the people that are giving you the data? Like, if you see fat guy on there, can you like go, dude, you got to start moving more. You're not, you're gonna die or something like that. Can you do that or anything?
Yeah.
Is there something you can do?
Well, we'll be releasing wall type features on people's profiles, so you'll be able to kind of jolt or poke people into action. The other thing we want to do is add some human coaching elements as well. So, if you want to allow your personal trainer or nutritionist to see your data, we'll let you do that.
Very good. And also the website, James, for everybody is Fitbit, F-I-T-B-I-T, Fitbit.com, right? That's where they can go. And is that the best place to purchase the Fitbit?
Currently it is.
And will we soon seeing this in at retail stores as well?
Yes, definitely towards the holidays you'll start.
Towards the holidays.
So just be patient.
Nice. So for people
in a few months, yeah.
So this is a great Christmas Hanukkah gift. This is nothing better. You're not saying that you're fat or anything. It's
no.
A great gift to give someone tracking activity.
Trying to get people more active, I don't think that's saying that you're fat.
That's absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's basically saying I love you.
Right.
I just want to see you move more.
And I just want to see you drop 20 pounds.
I just want to see you lose 20 pounds.
And hopefully for us as a company, you know, maybe the whole family wants to move together and buy more Fitbits.
That's right.
Good for everybody.
That's right. Everybody in the family needs a Fitbit. Well, we think it's a great device, and we really appreciate you taking out time to come on the show and tell everyone about it. And again, the website, Fitbit.com, that's the place to go to get the Fitbit as well.
And Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem, James. And if it breaks, should we give everybody your personal cell phone number?
We'll give out your home number.
Should we give everybody your home number and say, hey, listen, you have a problem, call James.
I have an iPhone, so the call might drop.
Thanks, James. We really appreciate you coming on the show. And we'd love to have you back on when the new features come out, especially when the superpower features come out. I definitely want the flying. I want to learn how
invisible.
To fly.
Invisible. If you can do invisible, that would be good for me.
Yeah, too with the Fitbit. Mm-hmm. That's good, too.
We'll keep you guys updated.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Right. Okay,
that's take James. Care, take care. That's James Park with the Fitbit. Check him out online at Fitbit.com. And go buy one.
Yeah,
that guy loves it.
I like it. It's a lot of fun.
You're tough to like. You're not tough to like.
I am.
But you're
too.
You're tough with these products. You don't just say it's good. You let them know if it was bad.
And the wireless syncing makes
all
the difference. It just does.
So how do you sync it? What do you do?
Nothing.
It just does it automatically?
Right.
It finds a computer?
No, because the little machine that you sync with is attached to a USB port on my computer. So when I just go buy it, it just syncs automatically. I don't have to do anything.
Oh, that's good. That's a good feature to have. Nice. And you're real happy with the information.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had more steps. But
you think it's not enough. And some people are doubting you online. They're saying it's too many.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, I don't.
They're saying it's 99% accurate.
Well, I think they're exaggerating.
We're going to have to talk to our buddy Robert Davis about the accuracy
of
the Fitbit.
He knows the truth.
But when you're checking out Fitbit, go check him out, Fitbit.com. And when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy at drfitnessthefatguy.com. Check out our website. It's going to have some cool stuff coming out there pretty soon. Go to Facebook. Become our 376th fan.
No, we're in the 80s, 380s. We're shooting for 400. 400.
We're giving out more prizes at 400?
I think, aren't you going to their house, cooking them dinner?
No, I'm not doing that. Not doing sleepovers yet.
If you're in Atlanta, we'll come to your house if you're the 400th. We'll incent them.
Maybe the 1,000th. We'll do the 1,000th.
We'll come to their house?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
But make sure you check us out and become one of our friends on Facebook. Also, go to our Twitter, at FatGuy and DrFitness6. And check out some of our great past interviews. People like Dr. Wayne Westcott, one of the leaders in the field of health and fitness. Check out Denise Austin. Check out, we had on recently, Bethany Frankel. She told us about her workout routine. Very interesting workout routine.
Yes.
Rocco DeSpirito likes to cook. He tells us how he likes to work out as well. Lots of great past guests and great information.